Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Singing for Your Soul radio show. I'm your host, Kimberly Harrison, and in case you're new here, or even if you're not, at Singing for Your Soul, we are all about living lives in which our voices and our souls sing. Yeah, that's why we call it Singing for Your Soul. And whether it's sounding better in singing and speaking, or feeling more self-expressed, self-confident, sharing our voices authentically with the world, or living lifestyles that support these things, that support our creativity, our abundance, our health, and our wellness. There are really so many things that go into voice work. It's really life work. And I love the way that a client recently put it, so I've been stealing her words because I feel like she explained it so well. So she said, and I quote, "This is so much more than singing class. This is life class. It's our exploration of how to interconnect our finite human nature with our infinite spiritual nature through our voices and sound and vibration. It's deep, soulful deliciousness like chocolate." And I don't know about you, but if you use chocolate to describe pretty much anything, that to me means it's amazing because I am a big chocolate fan. So it really does feel like chocolate when we start to get our voices and our souls aligned, or when we're living in a way where we're at least in a dialogue about what that means and how we can have that happen better, right? So we will be talking with our guest about these kinds of things today. And before I bring her on, which I'm really excited to do, but I just wanted to give you a little behind-the-scenes sneak peek. I'm one of those people who always has loved knowing what goes on behind the scenes. Perhaps that's because I've always loved being backstage before a performance. There's just all sorts of craziness and many antics that can ensue. And so I like knowing the behind the scenes. And sometimes when shows come off perfectly, those of us who are performers just really get turned on by knowing the triumph of how that thing got produced. So just wanted to give you a little background. So I'm living in Michigan currently. That could change, but I'm here right now because my partner Marvin and I are working on creating a nonprofit musicians retreat. And this is going to be an amazing thing, and I'm not ready to make the full announcement yet, but we are here scoping out land because we want to have about 80 acres to put this on, and we're having artist studios. It's going to be amazing, and it will be, the musicians will not have to pay for this. Our idea is to help musicians who are financially struggling and who wouldn't be able to make breakthroughs in their careers if they didn't have the support and the time to really work on and hone their craft. So that's the backstory, and you've heard of why I'm here in Michigan right now. And it's going to have an organic farm. It's going to be in nature. It's going to be wonderfully healing for people. And you've heard me broadcast live for the show from previous episodes from the little music studio that Marvin and I built on the property that we're currently staying on. And today, just up, I am actually coming to you from Nellie's Lavender Estate, which is just down the road from us. It's a lavender farm, and I'm actually renting a space from them, a studio on their property, to do Skype sessions, because where we're living is too rural, that's a hard word to say, it's too rural, and we have horrible internet, so I've had to be renting other spaces to do my online work with people. And so I'm here today, and there are little chickies, little baby chicks down in the room where I walk in. They greet me, and they're peeping down there, and they're adorable. And if you go on my Instagram at Singing for Your Soul, You will see some pictures, or some video of these little precious beings who are downstairs right now cheeping. So that's a little bit of the background. I also forgot my phone, which is what I'm speaking to you from right now, and I had to rush home at the last second, so I had to quickly calm myself down before we started the show. So let's get to our guest. And this month, we are going to welcome successful singer, songwriter, and composer Nikki Christie. She's classically trained on viola and self-taught on guitar, and she's got orchestras, quartets, musical theater, and film all under her belt. And Nikki composes, arranges, and produces her own work alongside Grammy winner Billy Mims. So Nikki and her band entertain live all over the place, and reviews call her stage presence graceful, playful, and powerfully intimate. I would second that. I know her personally, and she definitely is all of those things. Her taste is old-fashioned and innovative, and it has notes of blue-eyed soul, baroque pop, wonky pop, trip-hop, and torch songs. And today, Nikki is going to share with us about her life as a performer and her desire to create honest music that promotes self-empowerment, which I love. I'm a huge fan of that. I've worked personally and pretty extensively with Nikki. I know that she is a true talent and a very glowing personality, and you're going to love her. I can't wait for you to meet her. So, Nikki, are you there? Can we bring you on?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I know it's morning for you. It's afternoon for me.
That's welcome. True. Hello, good afternoon, everything.
Good whatever it is to everybody out there. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you. I'm just nibbling on a waffle, and I'm looking at your chicken pic on Instagram.
Oh. Aren't they adorable?
They're so cute.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go down and hold them after we finish the show and say hello and traumatize them. They're actually a lot calmer than when they first got here. So, yeah.
Well, as are everybody after they settle in.
Exactly. They needed a little adjustment time. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything that you'd like to say off the bat before I dive in and start digging away with my questions?
Not really, but I mean, I'm excited to be talking with you on here. I'm so proud of you.
Oh,
and
you're
amazing.
I'm proud of you. Mutual admiration club. So, I really want to start with a rather broad. And oh no, somebody's calling me. I wondered if that was going to happen to me ever while I was doing a live show. Okay. So
that's when everybody calls when you don't want them to.
That's what you get. I used to do it on Skype, but they changed the phone number on Skype, and now you have to pay. And I'm just like, you know, I could just use my phone. So I use my phone instead of a fancy microphone, and it works. It seems to work. So unless somebody calls. So I really want to start with a rather broad question, which is the question of finding your voice. I know, it's a big one. But let's kind of break it down into pieces. So the way I look at this is that finding your voice is a literal process, especially as a singer and a songwriter. You have to find your singing voice, right, and what works for you and what feels comfortable and grow and all of those things, get good vocal technique. And then there's finding your voice as a songwriter, like what are you saying, what's your message, how do you craft good songs. And then there is the overarching finding your voice in your life, like how you're living and if it feels authentic to who you are and who you want to be in the world. So let's break that into smaller pieces and maybe start out talking about the process of finding your singing voice and how that has transpired for you over the years. We talk about that, including vocal technique, feeling confident with how you sound as a singer.
Absolutely. That's something I'm still going through. You helped me find I mean, when I first met you, I had, you know, brief training, and I didn't really know how to truly use my voice. And like after seeing you, I'm not kissing your butt, but like that's really when I started to open up physically. And then after, when that happened, I was able to expand more, learning more what I liked and what I, in the direction I wanted to go, because like before I didn't even know I could have the option.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the
I remember
training.
we expanded your upper range quite a bit, and your comfort with your upper range.
Every
when
range.
You came in. Yeah, yes. And that has to do so much with the vocal technique that I've been fortunate to have learned. I struggled for years as a singer myself, and studied with a lot of different teachers and was able to put a lot of pieces together that had been missing. And once we really work with the voice to give it the proper training, it opens up the whole toolbox. It opens up creativity. It opens up the confidence to try new things. And it strengthens and creates flexibility so that you can move seamlessly through your whole range. Would that be a pretty
Absolutely.
Good way of putting it?
Absolutely. Perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I've been hearing from your music since I tortured you with those warm-ups, you could probably tell people that they are kind of crazy and intense vocal warm-ups, but what I'm
sure,
hearing...
I mean, they're, like, wonderfully insane. I love it.
they
like, all ego goes out the window. There's no room for it. Awesome.
All what goes out the window?
All ego. You cannot have an ego on your shoulder and do those exercises. I mean, if you did, they disappear very quickly.
Right. And that's one of the beautiful things, is that those exercises help bust through emotional blocks too, right?
Yes. Yes.
Because they're so ridiculous and awesome, and they feel so good.
The energy just like lifts up. I'm telling you, like I was telling you the other day that, you know, when working with you is not just technically useful, it's extremely enlightening. You're like such a guru. You totally lifted me out of a stale state, and I felt so enlightened in every way, physically and spiritually. And those exercises, man, they really did it too.
They're like a spirit workout, aren't they?
They're a total spirit workout.
Yeah. And I've heard so much more. I just hear you doing things with your voice that I didn't hear you do before. And you were already, when you came in, you had a great sound. It's not like, what we did was we just uncovered more of it and opened up more opportunities for you to try new things. And so I'm hearing you flip into your head voice in these really cool ways. I'm hearing you kind of just yodel a little bit and, you know, just play with your sound.
Yodel?
Yeah. When you break from chest voice into head voice, I'm hearing a little bit of that. I mean, for lack of a better word, you're not exactly yodeling, but it's sort of that quality that's happening in some of your songs that I'm hearing. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's playful. It's quirky. It's cool.
If I could yodel, I'd be so happy. I didn't know that about myself.
Yeah. Well, you know,
find me a hill and a goat.
I know. Yodelay, yodelay. So I actually kind of learned how to yodel at one point.
What?
Because a client, yes, this was crazy. So a client came in and she said, I want you to teach me how to yodel. And I said, I am not your girl. I don't know how. And she said, that's okay. We'll find YouTube videos and we'll learn together. Okay, you're going to pay me to learn how to yodel with you. I'm not going to complain. So we laughed hysterically on our way through trying to learn how to yodel, and you basically just break your voice from chest voice to head voice. Kind of like what we do a lot in those warm-ups. You know, we have warm-ups where you sing chest, 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 head, chest, 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 right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Do you hear that kind of break in my voice right there? That's basically yodeling, although I'm not that good at it.
Wow.
No,
I heard that.
Yeah, go play with that. You heard what?
That was a good yodel.
it wasn't a great yodel, and my voice is a little under the weather, but it's whatever. It's my attempt. So, so you're feeling more confident these days about your voice, would you say?
Oh, my God, 110%. Way more. More.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say I know it's an ongoing process, but go ahead.
It is, though, you know, I mean, like, if I miss one day of singing, and I've actually missed a couple lately because I was under the weather, and it's like, you know, you miss one day at the gym, and then the next day you go back, and you're like, whoa, I can't lift that weight today. So, it is that constant upkeep. But, I mean, I have gotten to a point where I can pick it up. Not from the beginning anymore. It starts at a different level. And that's a great feeling.
Yes, that is a wonderful thing, that you get your voice. If you do enough training, you can get it to a place where you don't start from where you started previously if you don't make it to work out every day. But you're right. It does require, just like anything in our body, to be in top shape, it requires daily upkeep and exercise.
Yeah.
It's muscles. So your job as a singer and a performer is not an easy one because it requires hitting the pavement every day or most days and being consistent, doesn't it?
Totally. And my challenge has been mostly not, you know, like, you know, my wine days, I used to drink so much red wine, and it definitely dried me out. We did, and I've had to learn how to manage my diet and you know, not just alcohol, but, like, I've learned that I cannot have mayo or tomatoes or what else, I don't know, hamburger or whatever, you know, before I sing. Otherwise, that's going to be a very unpleasant situation.
Yeah,
and I had to learn all about how my body responds. It was a really great thing, though. It made me really pay attention to how my body reacted physically to a lot of foods that I wasn't really paying attention to before. So, I mean, that was wonderful in a health matter.
Have you felt better overall as you started to pay attention to these things?
Absolutely, and I definitely pay attention to how much water I'm drinking now, especially with, like, if I'm dehydrated, I can't sing the way I'm supposed to sing. Like, I totally know the difference now. I've learned more about my body thanks to, like, you know, working with my voice.
Yes, our voices will teach us so much, won't they, about our bodies.
Totally, and if I'm stressed, oh, I cannot sing, man. I have to figure out how to de-stress before I try to really belt out. Otherwise, I figured out that I held all my tension into my throat. So if that's full of tension, I really, it's a whole straining experience, and that's not fun.
No, it's not. And a lot of, especially women, we hold our stress, not surprisingly, considering having been treated the way many women have been treated over the past hundreds of years, a lot of women hold their tension in their throat chakra.
Really?
Yep. It's not a singular problem. I see it across the board with most women. We most of us hold our tension in our throats.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And here's a little tip for you that I'm not sure I ever taught you this because I don't know if I knew it when we were working together, but you can actually take your hand in front of your throat and kind of as though you're grabbing energy, like stuck energy, you can take your hand in kind of a whisking motion and pull that energy and then flick it away.
You're talking about energy work. Aww.
I am, and it works wonderfully, and you might have to do it a bunch, but you'll reach a point where it will really help. So, you know, just pulling and, you know, just saying anything that is not serving me energetically right now, I am clearing. And you can imagine pulling gray gunk away and then just flicking it and releasing it.
That is a great tip.
Yeah, it's really, really helpful. And then you can just hold your hand in front of your throat and imagine sending white light in there and imagine your throat glowing with that white or golden light. And that can be really helpful too.
Energy healing. I love it. Good job, Kim.
Yeah. So that's some new stuff for you to play with. So you also had mentioned when we were talking about your discovery with lemon water. Tell me more about that.
Oh, the lemon water miracle. Yeah, no, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine who she's almost an official doctor, and she has to study textbooks at night and long hours, lots of memorizing, lots of reading. And she discovered that she could only have two cups of coffee before she'd go crazy. And that lemon water gave her the kick and the awake that she needed. And so I started doing that instead of coffee or nibbling on things that I shouldn't nibble on. And it totally just gives you a pure, awake vibrance that I was needing. It was so great.
Wonderful.
Also, the apple cider vinegar with water drink is so helpful, too. I just stick to those two now whenever I need, like, an extra little kick or I'm feeling dry.
Yeah, and those are both great because they have minerals and they're very alkalizing to the body. So, I see on Facebook all the time people doing, like, the lemon water challenge. Drink warm lemon water first thing in the morning every day for a year and see what happens. They are really wonderful. And I don't overdo the lemon water because I don't want to ruin the enamel on my teeth.
Oh, I use a straw.
Oh, perfect. There you go. You know what? I didn't even think.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Yeah, it totally just goes where you want it to go.
And put it down the trap. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to do that. There you go.
Yeah.
You just solved my problem. Thank you. So yeah, and that has been something for you to do instead of, because I remember our wine conversations, and I would try not to tell you what to do, but be like, well, I can only tell when you had wine before your lesson because your voice cracks when you get into the upper range.
Well, that was not a great time for me also.
I know.
I'm not an alcoholic, everyone. I had a hard couple nights there for a while.
It's just that it doesn't take very much. And what alcohol does is it causes the vocal cords to swell. And then if you imagine a couple of puzzle pieces that you're trying to put together, but they've been soaked in water, they're not going to fit together very well. And that's kind of the same thing that happens with our vocal cords. So it doesn't take very much to cause that dehydration.
Right.
And no, I'm sorry. I was not trying to say you were an alcoholic.
No.
Take that statement back.
Well, I was just listening as if I didn't know anything. Uh-oh. This girl.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It was just, it's just everything. And plus, because you were going through a difficult time, you were going through sort of a coming of age, I think, and that also, that emotional struggle or, you know, going through emotional things has a physical effect on us. So, So it's a great trick, your lemon water trick. That's what we need to pull from that.
Although I have to say, having a cold, I had a really horrible cold, and I was set up to do a whole hour-long set at the cinema bar in Culver City. And I didn't want to cancel. It was like my first big, you know, public performance. And so I was adamant about not canceling. But I really didn't know how to get myself through it. Luckily, I just had a little bottle of scotch with me. I put some scotch into like an herb bottle. And I sipped on that throughout the show. And man, I could swear by that. If you have a cold, that will keep your throat warm. And it totally helped me get through the set. I mean, I wasn't chugging the thing, you know, I was just having little sips. And yeah, that really helped.
Yeah, it's sort of like
a cold.
Hot toddy.
Yeah.
Which my
hot toddy, that would have been really perfect.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Hot toddies are amazing because you've got the honey, you've got the lemon, and you've got your scotch or whatever you put in
yes.
there. Whatever, hard liquor. And hard liquor, I mean, it kills germs. Let's be
right.
honest about it. And it really does help warm and numb. So, yeah, that's a great tip that you just shared. I've done that before, too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I also find that when I perform, having dealt with a lot of past history with panic attacks while performing and the anxiety that comes up, I don't always do it, but sometimes just a glass of wine or part of a glass of wine or a couple sips of scotch just bring that nervous energy down a notch. They really do.
Oh, the nervous energy. You know,
yeah.
That's been a whole relationship for me, getting used to that. Okay. I honestly loved being on stage when I was little. I was such a little ham. Like, I loved Shakespeare, and I would be that kid, you know, reciting Shakespeare everywhere, so proud that I understood it. And
whoa.
I loved going on stage, and I was a ham, man. I was like Shirley Temple, and I knew it. So, growing up, I never thought about having stage fright. And then I was in an orchestra because I played viola. And
mm-hmm.
our coach would always say, right before we'd go out and do performance, she'd always go, oh, are you nervous? Oh, don't be nervous. Are you nervous? Like, it would really pump the idea into my head. And eventually I started getting nervous. And
whoa.
Then, yeah, it was weird. And then after that, I had a hard time getting that I'm supposed to be nervous out of my head. And, you know, it's been obviously a long time since that happened and that experience with her. But now if I ever feel anything high, like anxiety, I actually enjoy it. It's when I don't feel it that I get a little worried because there's that energy level that I can work with, you know, like if you take that energy and then you use it to rev up your performance and, you know, focus it out onto the crowd, then it's so much fun. And when I don't have that nervous energy, I actually get a little worried, like, oh my God, I am tired. I'm not going to be that exciting to watch tonight. Oh no. I actually really appreciate any nervous energy I get now.
Oh, Mickey, that is so wise. I love how you just said that. That's awesome.
Oh. Well,
and
it's but, you know, it took a while to get to that point. I had to go in that whole cycle of understanding it, what it is to me. And my close friend had a really great point. He was saying how anxiety and stress and nervousness doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It can be registered as excitement, too. The same feeling of anxiety, nervousness could just be excitement, and you have to channel it into that positive direction. Otherwise, it could, if you cover it with fear, then it could just be anxiety. If you cover it with an excitement, a positive, excited feeling, then it could just be channeled into, oh, goody, yay, let's just do this, you know. So there's that, too, that helps.
Everybody, that is such wisdom. Oh, my gosh. That's exactly it, all of that you just said. Starting with the teacher who sort of implanted the idea of being nervous in your head. And so that sort of, you know, don't think of the pink elephant in the room. And then the first thing you think of is the pink elephant.
Of course.
And then having to work yourself through that and coming to this place where you understand that you can use those potentially anxious feelings, but you can channel them into being excitement.
Yeah. I mean, you're really, you, when you go up on stage, you are there to, you know, you're the center of attention, not because they're like, of any other reason. You're the performer. And if you don't have that vibrant energy, whether it is nervous and erect, you know, it doesn't matter. You're still up there to entertain. But if you're a nervous wreck, enjoy it. You know, you could be funny and nervous. It doesn't have to be a spectacular, I'm Christina Aguilera, let's go party. You know, it could just be, even if it is out of fear, your goal is to make the audience feel comfortable and to entertain. So it's really not about you up there. And if that's another way of looking at it too, the nervousness, it's not about you. Everybody's so focused about themselves and what everybody's thinking about them. You have to remember, nobody really cares how you're feeling.
Meanwhile, you've got a whole audience of people sitting out there focused on themselves, right?
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So great. That's all really, really good advice, I think, for anybody who finds themselves in front of a group, is just take the attention off of yourself, enjoy, and let yourself, you know, people really love vulnerability and relate to nervous wreckness. You know, if you're a nervous wreck up there, there can be something very, you know,
something
lovable.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So great. That's fantastic. So I want to get to a couple, because we get to share a couple of your songs. And I've got to say, the show producer, when I spoke to her just before we got on the air, was laughing about the title of one of your songs. Her husband was saying, what kind of show is this again? Is this about singing or something else? But let's back up. We're going to do that one second. So can you introduce your first song, On My Way?
Yes. This is the general audience one.
Okay.
this song's called On My Way, and it's basically a victory song for anyone who's come from under to up, whether it's a person or experience or like a time in history. I mean, the song for any beating hearts out there that were kept down for any unjust reason. I personally wrote it because, it was kind of like a sayonara to like an old boyfriend who really kept me down in like a web of guilt and confusion. And, you know, after breaking up and at a certain point of crying and being angry and all the stuff that we go through, I decided to move forward and to grow past the pain and become the brightest, most strong and beautiful self I could be. I was taking charge of my life, and I considered that being on my way, because after that, anything's possible. After I gained my control, I took control of my life, anything's possible now, and I was on my way. So that's what this song is about. It's a fun song, too, though, so it's not really a heavy song.
I love it. Let's cue that up and have a listen.
Okay.
It's been a long time. I haven't seen your face since the day that we believe in fairies. I could tell you'd be a great one someday. A beautiful man, the man for me. And then I saw you walking up so tall, so intimate. I wondered if you'd feel me. Don't know why. You must have thought about me. I was in shock. Are you the man for me? Whoa, the man for me. Mm-mm. This
that you're the man for me.
That song too. Okay. I forgot which one I sent you.
I just forwarded the email right along, so I didn't even notice. But that was Man for Me, right?
That was Man for Me. That was totally.
Tell us about that one.
I love that song. That song is about I love that song so much. It's come so far from when I first wrote it, which was kind of like a country rock sound, and now it's kind of got a jazz pop, islandy almost sound to it. I went on the first blind date I'd ever been on. It wasn't even I haven't seen this person basically since kindergarten. I went to school with him, and when I saw him walking up to our meeting spot, I was like blown away by how tall and gorgeous he was, and I thought, oh my god, is he going to charge me to spend time with him? Like, I had a laugh to myself, and then, you know, later on writing a song, I did a whole fantasy. A lot of my stuff is just exaggerated reality and, you know, a fantasy of something more interesting than what's really going on. So I channeled that into, ooh, are you the man for me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so yeah, that's all it is. It's such a cute song that I really love that one.
I love it too.
And love
it
how
sounds like it
far
could be on the soundtrack for a Coen Brothers movie or something. You know, it's just got that.
For real?
Yeah, it does. It does. I love it. I think, or like Quentin Tarantino or something like that. Yeah.
Quirky. I love it. That's a huge compliment.
Well, and I mean it too. Yeah. I love it. I love that song. So,
awesome.
We're going to break just for quick announcements here in the middle, and then we're going to go back to your music because I can't wait to get to the other one. So, just so y'all know, I teach voice lessons worldwide online via Skype. It's through Singing for Your Soul. You can go to singingforyoursoul.com. to find out more, to get in touch. And like I said, I'm seeing people mostly exclusively online while we're prepping this nonprofit musicians retreat center that's going to be probably in rural Michigan. And just to give you an idea of what I offer, I'm doing mostly private voice lessons right now, but I also offer voice classes, voice workshops for professionals, you know, or for yoga teachers. I do a lot of things like that. For people in the conscious community, and sound healing performances using voice and harp and Tibetan bowls and framed drum. I even offer what I am calling right now sound massage, which is kind of this indigenous spontaneous song and playing of instruments over the body, very calming and healing. And the way that I approach the voice is that
it's really a window to our soul and a portal to the divine. And that means a lot of different things for different people, but our voices are really, really gifts. And I'm wanting to spread the word that they are gifts and that we begin to treat them as gifts, and that there's a lot of consciousness available through engaging consciously with our voices. So if you want to stay in touch, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. If you do that, you'll receive a free copy of my ebook, 6 Tips to Skyrocket Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence. You can check me out at Facebook, facebook.com/singingforyoursoul, and Instagram, singingforyoursoul. And if you're interested in voice lessons or classes, or you'd like to schedule a workshop or a performance, or if you would like to donate to support our recording and performing efforts for Healing Music and the Healing Music Center, please send an email to info@singingforyoursoul.com, or you can call 310-439-9862. Nikki, back to you after that mouthful. I wish I had
a I'm here.
Right now. Because given the song that we're about to talk about, that was, I could like rephrase that. After
oh,
I just said
goodness.
A lot, let's get back to you. So tell us about the next song that we're going to hear.
Okay, well, let's just get one thing straight. I have a song called Naughty. I have a song called Crazy.
Okay.
I have a song called Man For Me. I have, you know, I have lots of different kinds of songs. And this song is called Pet My Kitty. And it's not exactly the first thing that pops into your head. it was basically a dare. I was dared to write a song called Pet My Kitty. And I think it was partially a joke, but I kind of take dares like that seriously to see if, like, can I actually do this? So, and it came out right away, which is what's funny. But I'm not the kind of person to really write music like that, lyrics that will make me feel, you know, gross or uncomfortable or too exposed, you know. I mean, I'm not, let's just say, I don't have the balls that, like, Little Kim does or, you know. So when I was doing that, I had to figure out what Pet My Kitty meant for me. And for me, at the time, I was just so getting irritated with, like, social media and selfies and how the obsession of beauty and what you're supposed to wear and how your makeup's supposed to be and how your pictures are supposed to look, and all that was just getting on my nerves at the time. And so I considered, like, Pet My Kitty meaning stroke my ego. So, like, everything that I was writing in my lyrics was basically about my frustration with social media and what it does to, you know, younger people and influencing them in a way that's, you know, kind of harmful and not organic. It's so forced, you know. So it's actually quite a meaningful song.
yeah. And
disguised with a fun title.
And you just actually answered one of my questions I hadn't gotten to yet, which was, what is your experience with social media? You know, what's your relationship with it? And you've just given a lot of insight.
It's, I mean, you know, it is, it's a business. That's really what it is. And I have 2 Instagrams. One of them is for my personal account, where it's just like my dogs and my, you know, pretty pictures that I enjoy taking. And then I have a music account, which has a little bit more vanity to it, but it's kind of necessary because you are introducing your face to the public and you want them to get to know you. And so it is more on me focused than I would normally be with my personal group of friends. And I had to get over myself about that, because for a while I was just like, oh God, I can't post like this picture of me looking like I'm all happy about how I'm looking. Well, why not? You know, I look good. That is who I am. I have to say hello to people who I don't know, and that's like the way you do it now. And also it's important to get yourself out there in public. And besides pictures, Instagram's a great way to, you know, do like a little bit of your music. It's like only 15 seconds, but you can put 15 seconds of a YouTube video that you have up on YouTube and just do a little preview on Instagram and or Facebook. And it's a tool that everyone knows the importance of. Everybody in the industry knows you have to have social media up. You just have to. It's a thing now. It's like having a business card. So it's just important, and you have to figure out how everything works. And I'm still, man, it can take up a whole day, but it's not a day wasted, which is weird.
Yeah, it's that process of making peace with how things are right now.
Yeah,
it is necessary.
Absolutely. It is, yeah.
Wow, that's all really well said.
Thank you. So, yes, I do still struggle with the vanity of it, because I feel like our vanity is going to eat us alive one day.
That is possible. It's quite possible.
Yeah. So that's where this song came from. And there's nothing wrong with selfies, guys. I just, for me personally, I just always, if I go on Instagram for too long, I start thinking about all the unfortunate kids in the world who, you know, don't have a phone, never mind, like, they don't have food. So I get into my head about things, and it keeps me from enjoying things as much as other people sometimes. But
the blessing and the curse.
Song. It's
being
a blessing.
Thoughtful person. well, I'm excited to hear the song with that background introduction. So let's cue it up, and we will hear Pet My Kitty.
Get your rising star, put it in your deepest pocket, polish it bright and raw, love it to death, baby. Keep all its breath.
Thank you.
I love it.
It's a fun one.
It is a fun one. Can you tell me what it's like to hear a finished song?
Oh, my God. Well, I've been working on that EP. I have 5 songs for, like, around 2 years. And why it's taken me so long is because I've been working with my amazing producer for an artist's budget. And what that means is you get to work with him when somebody else isn't paying him a lot of money. it's taken a long time, plus the creative time and manufacturing time and mastering time and mixing time to get it into my hands today. And it's just the feeling of when the box arrived with my copies of my EPs. I mean, I was so proud, and I was so, it's such an amazing feeling. It's really, it just made me so happy. You feel like a long time coming. It feels like, oh my God, I never thought I would have my own album in my hand. If I had known as like a little girl, I would have my own album in my hand right now, I would be so terrifically, like, amazingly proud of myself. it was such a good feeling, basically.
Congratulations. So amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's so much work.
It's so much work, but I love it. I can't wait to start making another one, honestly. I'm trying to just hold on and enjoy this one for a second, but it's like, you know, I just want to keep doing. I have so many songs, and I can't wait to start producing them.
So do you have plans to work on your next EP?
Not yet. I am working with my producer on getting it to some industry people. We're going to submit it to a couple people that we know personally and see how it does. It's gotten a great review so far by journalists and music fanatics, so hopefully we'll get picked up somewhere.
Awesome. So if you're a producer or an A&R person listening, go check Nikki out, get in touch. And you have some shows coming up, right? Can you talk about your
show? I have 2 shows. I have a show on the 22nd at the Silver Lake Lounge in Silver Lake, California. We'll be playing a 30-minute set, I think. And then we have one on the 25th. That's a Friday at the State Social House on Sunset. Both of the shows are around 9 o'clock. The State House is a free show. So come on down if you're 21 and over and get some dinner and drinks, and we can serenade you.
Yes.
But yeah,
Nikki.
I have my website, and it's nikkichristie.com, and everything's there.
And why don't you spell that? I mean, we have that. We have it posted all over the place, but go ahead and spell it for listening people.
Okay. It's nikkichristie.com.
Ding. Yeah. And now you've also. We have just a few minutes left, but I want to hear a little bit about this new show that you've been. Can we talk about this? Songland? Is that okay to talk about?
Actually, let's talk about that because
okay.
Last night I made the decision to not submit into it.
Very interesting. Okay. Well,
yeah,
let's
the
tell
reason.
People what Songland is and then why you decided not to.
Absolutely. McNulty Casting is casting songwriters for their new show, Songland. It's a spinoff of The Voice. It has Adam Levine. And somebody else I can't remember the name of, but it's on NBC. It's the same deal, but for songwriters. And it sounded like a really fun opportunity to join in on, get your music out there and everything. Now, with a lot of reality shows, you have to expect that they are going to claim ownership of whatever is created on the show.
Mm.
And I expected that, but I didn't expect the amount of what they were claiming in the small print. So it was, and it's only after you fill out your whole submission and you make a video and everything that you click the next button when they give you the small print. So it's kind of like you don't want to turn back now. You already did all this work. But I happened to hashtag it on Twitter, and so many people were hashtagging Songland, and then make sure you read the fine print before you submit to the show. There's no way I would do it. And so I started looking into it, and it is a little extreme, the amount of claim that they lay to your work. You're not going to get any royalties, and it's just NBC owns everything. So I personally am not up for that. I know I can produce very good work, and I don't feel like that's for me at this point. I think if anybody wants to learn stuff and have some fun on TV, I think you should go for it. But you have to be prepared to not make any money off of your work, and just be prepared for TV to take over your creativity.
Good for people to know if they're thinking of trying out these shows. So,
well, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, with The Voice, it's just your voice. You know, nobody can steal that from you. But when writing is involved, it gets a little tricky. So
it's
I understand it.
Property.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you shared that with us. For people to know, so they can make an informed decision about the fine print.
Well, you should be informed. Yeah, absolutely. It was a little disappointing for me, honestly. I was excited about doing something big like that, but it's not really worth it to me to have my work taken from me like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
So, Nikki, we have 1 minute left.
Ah!
The show is almost over. The countdown has begun. So,
yes.
I love having you on, and I hope we can have you back again, maybe when your next EP comes out. And I just thank you so much. Thank you for being
Thank you
on
for
the show.
Having me. I learned
and
a couple things, too.
I learned a couple things. I learned more than a couple things. So that was really fun. Thank you. And I hope everybody who was listening did as well. I thank you, and we will have you back, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Kimmy.
You have an awesome day.